Today's sugya we're going to discuss whether Shema is deraisa or derabbanan. So the Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph and Aleph records machlokas between Rav Yehuda is one opinion. Is machlokas whether it's really Rav Yehuda or it's Shmuel? It's important to know who authored that because the Gemara are going to refer to him as Shmuel. But either way, there's a first opinion of either Rav Yehuda or Shmuel that holds the person safek if he kara Shema safek lo kara eino chalos v'kara. He doesn't repeat Shema. And then the Gemara says, if he's suffic, whether he said emes v'yatziv or he didn't say emes v'yatziv, he is chalos v'omer. And he repeats emes v'yatziv. What's the difference? The Gemara explains explicitly that my taima kriyashma is derabanan, and emes v'yatziv is deraisa. You know the klal, the suffic, derabanan l'kula. So since Shema, according to Yehuda slash Shmuel, since he holds it's Shema is derabanan, we say suffic, amar, suffic, lo'amar, lo chalos v'kar. You don't have to repeat it because it's only derabanan. The Gemara says, doesn't the pasuk say b'shach b'chuv k'mecha, which sounds like it's deraisa? B'shach b'chuv k'mecha is referring to divrei Torah learning, that you're supposed to learn in the mornings and learn in the evenings, but with respect to saying Shema, that's only midirban. So then the Gemara introduces another opinion, that's Rabbi Elazar.
Sorry. Does that mean that Chazal chose the text of Shema to fulfill the mitzvah of
b'shach b'chuv k'mecha? No, b'shach b'chuv k'mecha is a mitzvah deraisa to learn every morning and learning every evening. There's an opinion out there that you can accomplish that through Shema, through reciting Shema. But some say Shema is different than Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah you have to do in the morning, B'shach Chuv K'mecha, but in regards to reciting Shema in the context of Trila, that's a din derabanan only. That's according to this first opinion of Rabbi Yehuda slash Shmuel. But then the Gemara introduces Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Rabbi Elazar holds that Safik Kara Kriyashma, Safik Lo Kara, Choser v'kare, Kriya Shema. If a person doesn't say Shema, or not sure if he said Shema, he has to say Shema again. But if he's saying, with regards to Tefillah, his Safik, his Palal, Safik, lo his Palal, then Eino Choser mispalal. So regarding Tefillah, you don't have to go back. Regarding Shema, you do have to go back. So Gemara doesn't tell us what is the reason of Rebbe Elazar. The Gemara tells us why Rebbe Yehuda says you don't have to go back and say Shema, because he holds Shema's Dirabanim. But Rebbe Elazar, what's his reasoning? So that's the big question. Why does Rebbe Elazar hold that if you're not sure you said Shema again, you would have to repeat it? So we all assume, because like Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, Dibur Maschil, Chozer V'Korei, this is eight lines up, Chozer V'Korei Kriyashma, Kesavar Kriyashma Deraisahi. That's Pashtus. Right? If the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is why you don't go back, because it's Derbanan, so seemingly the reason why Rabbi Elazar holds that you do go back is because Shema is deraisa. And that's all. If I were to wake up the kids in the middle of the night, or wake up you in the middle of the night and ask you, is Shema deraisa derabanan? You would certainly say, myself included, I would say Shema, of course, is deraisa. There's so much emphasis put on deraisa and Shema. We say it twice a day, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and that's how we would paskin like. So that's what Rashi says. Davar pashut. Is it din deraisa? Now, the Rush concludes from here. The Rush ends up writing, he goes from the Shiltas, we learn from this concept that Mikan Pasuk Bil Shiltas de Rav Achai. Rav Achai was the author, one of the Gonim. He wrote the Shiltas. He wrote to different Perushim Al Seder HaParshios. So he writes, all brachos de Rabbanan, and a person isn't sure if he said them or not, he does not have to go back and say the bracha again. That's what he concludes from the first opinion of Rav Yehuda. Now we're going back to Rav Yehuda for a second. Forget Rav Elazar. Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda holds that if you're not sure if you said Shema or not, you don't go back because Shema is Derbanan. That's the Gemara. So we all know the Klal Safik Derbanan Lekula. Where's that come from? Says the Shultas, this Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Alf Am Alf, is the source. This is the first time in all the Shas we mention this. Because the Brachos is the first Masechta. So just like Shema, which is Derbanan Lefi Rav Yehuda, Safik Amar, Safik Lo Amar, you don't go back. So to all other Derbanan, Safik Derbanan, Lekula, we don't go back and say this. So this is the source of Safek Derabanan Lekula. Now the Beis Yosef brings a different reason why perhaps one wouldn't say brachos over again. It's because there's another concern here. If you say bracha, let's say you already were Yosef bracha and you were to repeat it, he quotes from the Rabbeinu Manoach that there's a concern of Safek Losisa Ulchumra. If you said the bracha already and now you're repeating it, that's an Isser of bracha Levatala. That's a serious deraisa of lo sisa, the serious violation of bracha levatala. So that's, for that reason, Rabbeinu Manoach says not to repeat the bracha again. But either way, everyone agrees, safek derabanan, safek brachos, Lakula. And according to the Shiltas, this is the very source. Again, Shema is Derbanan, and we don't repeat it. According to Yehuda, so to all other Derbanans that are Safek, you don't repeat. Now, what becomes interesting, according to this klal, is you look at Tosos Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Tosos and Brachos Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, he writes, there's a whole discussion about a person, said at Baruch Atah Hashem, having in mind one item, thinking it was beer, thinking it was wine, and he ended up changing the bracha around. And the bracha has the Gemara has a whole back and forth and doesn't conclude what to do in such a situation. Right, again, I'll tell you what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, if a guy's holding in his hand beer, and he thinks it's beer, and he starts saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, on condition that's beer. But then he finishes off by saying, I'm sorry, the other way around. Sorry, he has a bracha, he has a cup of wine. He's holding wine in his hand. He starts saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, thinking it's beer, which would end up in being shehakol. And he ends up concluding, Bori Pri Hagafen, correctly, he goes to the bracha. Because even then, Baruch Atah Hashem, had he concluded shehakol niyeh bidvarov, that works for any food. But the opposite, let's say he's holding beer. And he starts off saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, thinking he's going to conclude Hagafen. And he ends up changing. He says, this is actually a beer. I need to finish shehakol niyeh bidvarov. That's a suffix, because since he started saying Baruch Atah Hashem, thinking it's wine, is that going to be a problem or not? And the Gemara doesn't conclude what to do in such a situation. But Tosas writes, in Daf Yud Beis, since we don't have an answer to the Gemara, we go Lakula. Because Safek Dirabana Lakula. Safek Brachos Lahakel. But then the opinion of the Ri in Tosos says, no, he says Lachumra. When asked to go Lachumra, you have to say a Bracha another time. So the question becomes, Safek Dirabana Lakula. Safek Brachos Lahakel. How come the Ri is saying you should be Lachumra here? You're perhaps violating a Bracha Levatala like Rabbi Manoach had. And the Shilta said, we have a klal by Shema. We don't repeat Shema because Safek Dirabana Lakula. So where's the Ri coming from suggesting that we'd have to say a bracha over again? You're not sure if you had the right bracha, you have to repeat it. This goes against everything we've learned. So what's unique about this case on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph? That's the question. So again, just to repeat, we learned from the Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph that Safek Kara Shema, Safek Eino Kare, you don't repeat according to Yehuda, because Shema is only Dirabanan according to Yehuda, and Safek Dirabanan Lakula. Shilta says everywhere else that this is the source, that everywhere else we don't repeat Safek Dirabanan Lakula. But the Tosos and the Ri and Tosos and Daf Yud Beis says no. This case of not sure if you said the right bracha or not, you should have to go back and say it again, Lachumra. That goes against everything we've learned. So what's the explanation where he's coming from? Safek, that he says Safek Lachumra here. So you guys saw the Rebbe Eger, what he said? Rebbe Eger on the side here connects something that we did earlier in the year, right after Sukkot's time. We had a whole discussion, spent a lot of time in the sixth parak of the nature of the, no one was here, I guess, at that point, other Shlomo was here, of Bir Chasanenen. The Bir Chasanenen that you say beforehand, what's the nature of that bracha, Bir Chasanenen?
Is it Matir, or is it
a Sheva? Right, is it a Sheva? I'm giving praise to Hashem, saying bracha for His greatness, He's able to create fruits and vegetables, or it's a Matir, it allows me to enter into, I'll eat the food. Had I not asked permission, it wasn't Matir me, it'd be Asur to eat. It's Hashem's world. It's Me'ila, the Gemara says. It's Gezeh, it's stealing His food. I need to ask permission. So the Bracha is me asking permission to eat the food. Those are the two sides. So you point out this Rabbi Kivager says here, you're right, even though normally we hold Safek Brachos Lahakel, if you look in the Gilyon HaShas, those who have it in Daf Yud Beis, he says, Lo shayach hacha lomar safek brachos lahakel. The kula. Is that shayach to apply that klal to this case of Bir Chasanenen? The kfar kasev harasha, that's the maharsha, the psachim, daf kufez, and the rashbam. The lo shayach kein ela bir chasan mitzah, that brachos ainim akevas. When it comes to Bir Chasan mitzah, I don't know if I said a bracha on lulav or bracha on sukkah, I could continue to do the mitzvah because not saying the bracha won't prevent me from doing the mitzvah. It's an extra thing. We certainly encourage people to say brachas before doing mitzvahs. But if a person isn't sure, we say, don't say the bracha, just do the mitzvah. Ava b'bir chasanenin, aser le'echel b'lo bracha. You're not allowed to eat food without asking permission first, without saying a bracha first. V'lo havikan chashash bracha v'tala. It's not chashash l'v'tala. What he's saying is that there's an iser involved. We have safek brachas l'hakel. But if it's a suffik iser, that would say l'chumra.
What's the iser?
Iser is stealing from the Hashem's food, Hashem's world.
It would be considered gazela.
Ask the question, how far do you take that? So the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Hei, says it's considered me'ila, it's considered gazela. So some Rishonim emphasize it's ki, it's like, it's not really gazela, it's not really me'ila, it's like, it's really a brichas shevach. You're praising Hashem. The Gemara is just using some agat to just give some strength to the bracha, but it's not really gazela. But others, like the Marashan, Rabbi Kveger, take it really seriously. It's really mamash like gazela, it's really mamash like iser. It's a real iser involved. And since an iser, so if I eat the food and I didn't say a bracha, that might be an iser. So therefore, safek isura l'chumra. That's how Rabbi Kveger understands Shitas Tosfos. But now we're going to bring it back to Shema. Yeah?
I mean, if you use that principle, then our Gemara is excluding all Berachas Nana.
Our
Gemara on...
Yeah, this Gemara here says all other Berachas Nanans, anytime there's a suffix, you'd have to go back and be Machmer.
So our Gemara is just not dealing with Berachas Nana. In other words, our Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph.
Exactly.
Is to the exclusion of all Berachas Nana.
Exactly. We have a Klal, Suffix, Brachos, Lahakel. Birchas Nenen is the one exception that Birchas Nenen, since it involves an itzer of eating food without asking permission, that's the only time you would be machmer.
The next example was the Shabbos and Dantik Brachas.
Yeah, that doesn't connect to this point. Let's see, he writes. That's talking about a situation of not a case of suffik. A guy just if he switched quickly within Toch Tei Dibor, we view that as being an erasing of the first statement and it's interviewed in a separate statement now. Not a case of suffik though.
Okay.
So that's all again, that's the opinion of Rabbi Kivyegi. But then there's the opinion of the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua says something fascinating. We said before, we read the Gemara in Chaf Aleph, where Yehuda and Shmuel held that if you weren't sure if you said Shema, you don't repeat Shema again, because the Gemara explicitly writes Shema is only a mitzvah midrabanan. But then we were introduced to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar held that Safek Kara, Safek Lo Kara, you are Chozer V'Kara, you do recite Shema. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us why. Why do you repeat Shema? So we said, Pashtus is, like Rashi says, it must be that Rabbi Elazar assumed that Shema is Deraisa. Like anyone here would think that Shema is Deraisa. If I asked 100 people, I think 100 people would say Shema is a Din Deraisa. Had he not learned the Sigmar and Daf Chaf Aleph. So that's where Rabbi Elazar is coming from. He assumed that Shema is Deraisa. And that's why if not sure if you said it or not, you should repeat it. And that's what Rashi says. The Gemara doesn't say that, Rashi says that. But since the Gemara doesn't say that, it leaves room to interpret Rabbi Elazar in a different way, which is the Pnei Yeshua's opinion. Pnei Yeshua says that even Rabbi Elazar assumes that Shema is also midrabanan. No one argues on that. Shema is only mitzvah midrabanan. Okay. So if Shema is only mitzvah midrabanan, why does he hold safek kara, safek lo kara, that you should repeat Shema again? We have a general klal, safek dirbanan lakula. So he has this tremendous chiddush to Pnei Yeshua, and he says as follows. This is the top of page number 2. Afil hachi, even though Rabbi Elazar agrees to Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel that Shema is only mitzvah midrabanan, you have to repeat Shema. Why? Because Shema is a chmir or machmir, and Shema came into is b'malchu shemayim. Even though we might assume that Shema is only mitzvah midrabanan, it's still a very serious one. Whenever I say Shema, even though I don't have to say Shema, the Chacham made me, but midrash I don't have to. When I do say Shema, I say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that's Kabbalah's Old Malchus Shemayim. I'm accepting Kadosh Baruch Hu as my God, the one and only God. And since it's such a very serious point and a foundation of Yiddishkeit, he was machmer to repeat it again. Now, I don't have to say Shema in the first place on a derisive level. Only the Chachamim made me say it. But still, it's a tremendous concept of being Makabah Old Malchus Shemayim. It's worthwhile repeating over again. That's how Pnei Yeshua explains this. But then the Pnei Yeshua says, what about our Tosfos on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph? So he says that as follows. he says that normally we hold Safek Derbanan Lekula. That's when there's a Isser Heter involved. When there's some level of Tircha involved. When it comes to Kriyashman Brachos Derbanan, you can be Machmir because there's no concern of Brach Latala when you say it out of Safek. So he says a different klal. Again, there are a couple of different points here I want to try to kind of break down and make it clear to us. There's one element we're trying to figure out is whether Shema is deraisa derbanan. That's one point. And point two is we're trying to figure out Shitas Tosos, why he thinks by the case in Daf Yibay is Safek L'chumra. Those are the two elements we're trying to come out. So they're really being bridged together here. So in the world of Pnei Yeshua, he holds that Shema is really mitzvah derbanan. He argues on Tosos. Shema is a mitzvah derbanan. So he says that normally the klal of Safek derbanan is L'kula. Because there always might be some level of Isser involved, or a certain Pseid, if I were to do it again, Tircha. To have to say something over again, do it over again, that's a Tircha involved, that's a Pseid, that's a loss for me. Chum, we're Makel on the individual. But if there's a certain value that can be gained, so then there'd be Machmir again. So the value by Shema that can be gained is the fact that it's a Kabbalah Almoch Shemaim. It's worth the Tircha having to repeat Shema over again.
It was in the gate of Pseidah.
It negates the Pseida, exactly. So he says as follows, so too, when it comes to a Safek, what's the problem if I were to repeat a Bracha again? The problem of repeating a Bracha again is a Bracha Vatala. That's the difficulty. And that's why you normally assume one shouldn't say it again, because there's a Bracha Vatala involved. Says the Pnei Yeshua, there is no Bracha Vatala involved when there's a case of Safek. You know when there's a Bracha Vatala, if I just say Baruch Atah Hashem, right now, Shekol Ne'abidvaro, that's a Bracha Vatala. There's no reason for me to say that. If I'm misupak, whether I'm required to say bracha, then there's a reason for me to say bracha, because I might have to say one. That's not called to consider bracha levatala anymore. So that's what's going on by the Gemara and the Tosos and Dafi Beis. Meaning Rabbi Kivaker felt the reason why you have to repeat the bracha again, because the Safek, he held birchas hanenin is unique. But any other birchas mitzvah, I wouldn't have to repeat over again. Says the Pnei Yeshua, it's not about birchas hanenin versus birchas mitzvah. It's a question of a Safek versus not a Safek. This klal of having to repeat the bracha again on Daf Yibeis doesn't only apply to Birchas Hanenin, according to Pnei Yeshua. It applies to Birchas HaMitzvos as well. Meaning, whenever there's a reason for me to repeat it, because I may not have said the bracha in the first place, that's not considered a pseid, that's not considered a loss, it's not considered bracha levatala. And therefore, just like the Ri says by a Birchas Hanenin, I have to repeat over again, so too he would say, if I'm not sure if I said a Birchas HaMitzvah, if I took the lulav, I don't know if I said the bracha, or if I sat in the sukkah, I don't know if I said the bracha, he would say the bracha again. That's not considered bracha levatala.
Where would Pnei Yeshua say is a case where you don't gain anything, when there is no...
Good question. So any other Safek bracha, any other case of Safek derbanan, what's a good example of this? Okay, let's say...
Where there's no hefset at all. You just...
has to be some level of tircha involved. Let's say lulav... after the first day. The lacha is in Midiraisa all 7 days in the base of Mikdash, and outside of the base of Mikdash one day. Chum said, let's take it all 7 days of Sukkot to shake the lulav Esrog. Now, you didn't get a chance to do it on the next day. So that's not really a case of Suffolk, though. Let's say you weren't sure. I don't know, you weren't sure if you did it or not on the second or third day.
Went to a basement and you were tired.
Yeah, tired, right? You thought you took someone's lulav there, you didn't have your own lulav. You thought you took someone's lulav, you didn't have it, you went home. If the Nagel step over to someone's house to find the lulav and esrog to shake it a second time, that would be involved. That's a tircha that might be involved, something like that. So he says that only applies when there's a tircha. But if there's no tircha involved, there's no iser involved, then you would say safek brachos lahachmir, like the case of any safek brachos. So what we're drawing from all of this right now is that there's two machlokism going on here. Okay, number one is how do we understand the shita of Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar again, who says safek kara, safek lo kara. You should say Shema. Is that because he assumes it's a Shema is a mitzvah deraisa, like Rashi, and we say all Safek deraisa is l'chumra? Or even he holds it's a Safek derabanan, he thinks Shema is derabanan, but even though it's derabanan, he still says one should repeat Shema again. Why? What's the reason for repeating Shema again if it's only midirabanan? Right? Kabbalah's Amal Cheshmaim. Because Shema has that aspect of Kabbalah's Amal Cheshmaim. That's Machlokas 1 between Pnei Yeshua and Tosos. And then Rashi. The second machlokas we're dealing with is why does Shitas Tosos and Daf Yud Beis say that Safek Brachos L'Chumra, that goes against everything we've been saying. So he suggested two answers. Either he holds that Birchas Nenin is unique, that Birchas Nenin involves an Isser, it's an Isser Gzela, an Isser Mila, that's why he's Machmir. Or he holds in general, all Safek Brachos, one would have to repeat, because that's not Bracha L'Matala. Bracha L'Matala is only if I say Bracha, just without any context, without any need. But if it's a need because it's a Safek, that doesn't qualify as a Bracha L'Matala, and that would be permitted. That's where Tosfos is coming from. So those are two machlokas that we just dealt with. Now let's discuss a little bit how we paskin. So if you look at number four, the Rush writes that we paskin Shema is Deraisa. We hold like Shema is Deraisa. Tosfos writes in Menachos, number five, that no, Shema is only mitzvah midrabanan, and all those different psukim that the Gemara brings to support Kriya Shema to say, v'shach pof kumecha, those are all asmachdas ba'alma, but really Shema is a mitzvah dirabanan. So it's a machlokas rishonim. Is saying Shema a deraisa dirabanan? It's a machlokas in the Gemara first. Rabbi Yehuda slash Shmuel holds it's dirabanan, and Rabbi Lazar holds it deraisa. That's the pashas how to read the Gemara. Deraisa versus dirabanan. That's why, whether you're machlokas, safek kara, safek lo kara, whether you repeat it or not. Now, when you bring it down to the rishonim, how do we paskin? So the Rush paskins, it's midiraisa, and Tosfos assumes it's midirabanan. Now, the Karen Orer has a hard time suggesting, Karen Orer says it's very, very difficult to say Shema is dirabanan. Very difficult. The Karen Orer writes, everybody holds it's deraisa. Everyone holds it's deraisa. Now, the Gilyon HaShas, which I didn't put on here, Gilyoni HaShas, or Yosef Engel, says the opposite. He says, everyone assumed it's Dirabanan. Rashi is the only one who holds it Deraisa. So, again, unclear. Adapaskin, what's the majority here? So then the Shagas Aryeh invokes the concept of, we have to know, there's certain rules of Adapaskin. What's one of the rules of Adapaskin? Hilchasa Kibasura. There's one klal the Gemara says, you always follow the later person, the last one alive. Ravina and Ravashi were the ones who wrote the Gemara. They were the last ones alive, so whatever they decide with halacha, we pass them again, because they saw everything beforehand. They were able to sift through who was right, who was wrong. So we follow Hilchasa Kibasura. That's one example. So, the Rif writes, why don't we pass them like the Yerushalmi? Whenever there's Yerushalmi versus the Bavli, we almost always pass them like the Bavli. He says, because Hilchasa Kibasura, the Bavli was after the Yerushalmi, so we pass them like the Bavli. That's one klal. Another klal we have is, if there's a Talmud and a Rav, so then we always pass like the Rebbe, over the Talmud. So he says, I don't understand this. We should pass like Shmuel against Rabbi Lazar, because it's a Talmud versus the Rav, versus the Rebbe. So he's not really sure how to pass. So it goes back and forth, and finally the Shagas Aryeh, after a very long discussion, says, you know how we paskin? We paskin that Shema is deraisa, and he brings a very interesting raya. The Mishnah Sota talks about, and Parshas Kiseta talks about, when we go out to war, we have the Kohen who stands in front, the Meshuach Mechama, he's called. The Kohen Meshuach Mechama, he's been anointed, he's been designated to give Musar, to give Chizuk and inspiration to the people going out to war. Anybody who did a Averos, anybody who has a house he didn't finish, anybody who doesn't have has a Kerem he didn't complete, has a wife in the Shana Rishana, all these different reasons, go back home, don't fight. If a person's scared because he has a Chet, go back home, don't fight. You need to be confident. And then the Gemara says, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Afidu lo kayamtam ela kriyashma shachras varvis. Even if the only thing you've ever done in your life was say Shema in the morning or Shema in the evening, that's all you've ever done, this is the bottom of number 7. You will not be handed over to the enemies. And this is a Mishnah based on the Psukim, which he's proving from here must be then that Shema is Deraisa. Because this is what the Meshuach Muhammad would be saying. And we're interpreting the words of the Psukim. So based on this Mishnah, so we have the Stam Mishnah in Sota, which is why we assume he's Paskin Shema is Deraisa. Because otherwise, if Shema wasn't deraisa, what kind of statement would the Meshuach Mechama be saying? Meshuach Mechama is given a whole text what to say. That text is found in the Torah. So we're interpreting the text to mean, referring to saying Shema in the morning and the evenings, it must be that Shema is a deraisa concept. And based on that interesting Mishnah, Shagas Aryeh proves it must be that Shema is a din deraisa, safek kara, Safek lo kara, chozer v'kara. Okay. Now we get into interesting discussion about safek, whether you said the bracha or didn't say the bracha. What would you do in such a case? So we paskin, we already said before that it came out, all Rishonim hold, safek, dirban lakula, safek brachas lahakel. There's that one exception of the Rientosos who says safek lachumra. That might be unique to Birchas Nenin. It might be a different shita about safek, but we paskin safek dirban lachumra. If you're not sure if you said the bracha or not, you shouldn't say it. So if you didn't say Shema, or you don't know, you should definitely say Shema over again. Let's say you weren't sure if you said the brachas. Pashto says you shouldn't say the brachas. And let's say you want to be machmir. Let's say you want to be machmir anyways. Are you allowed to be machmir and say the bracha? I don't know if I said the bracha in the morning of Shema. We know by Birkas HaTorah, we saw last time, what's the lacha we said? If you weren't sure if you said Birkas HaTorah or not, what do you do? Wait, so that's one etzah, Avarabba. Let's say you didn't have that etzah. Yotzi with the... We had all these different etzahs, right. Let's say you're all by yourself. You're done davening. You're out somewhere in the country. No minyan. No one else to be motzi. What was the last resort you could do? You weren't sure if you said Birchas Torah or not.
Say the first the one.
Yeah, some say, exactly. Some say one, some say all three, because Birchas Torah is a mitzvah deraisa, according to Moshe Shana. So you suffix bracha, so that's the one exception where you would repeat. But let's say another bracha. I wasn't sure if I said the Birchas Kriyashma or not. Would I say that or not? Am I allowed to say it? We don't say lechachila to say it, but am I allowed to say it or not? Seemingly not, right? Right, what's the concern? Why not say it? Right, bracha l'atala. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. The Mishnah Berurah writes if a person isn't sure if he said it or not, it's usher for him to go ahead and say the bracha. And the Shaar Tzion explains the reason is because there's a concern of bracha l'atala. I can't say bracha l'atala. I can't say bracha if I don't need to say it. I'm not sure, maybe I can. Now there's a machlokas is shown whether, what's the source of bracha l'atala? Right, losisa. You can't say Hashem's name in vain. That's the source of bracha l'vatala. And that, according to Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not that bracha l'vatala is a din deraisa, an issa deraisa. Everyone agrees a pasuk losisa is a pasuk in the Torah. Question is whether bracha l'vatala is really considered a violation of a deraisa. Rambam holds every time a person says a bracha l'vatala, it's an issa deraisa of losisa. Tosas holds that whenever I say bracha l'vatala, it's only an Isser Midirabanan.
What happened to that whole theory of maybe it's not if you kind of need it?
Right, so apparently we don't hold that way. That's a Pnei Yeshua suggestion. It's a very interesting suggestion. Apparently Pnei Yeshua holds that way. Others don't hold that way. Yeah. But the Chai Adam actually says you can. He does. Some say, so the Machlok is like anything else. Mm-hmm. But the Mishnah Berurah says, no, we don't hold that way. If you hold Brach L'Vatala as Deraisa, so certainly, you can't say can't be machmir and say the bracha to be safe. And then he says that even if you think a bracha l'atala is only an isim midirabanan, like Toso says, even then you still can't say the bracha if you're not sure. Because lo sisa, the Gemara in Shuos describes, is a very, very serious isser. When a person says a bracha l'atala, or shem Hashem l'shav, the world shakes. There's an earthquake in the world from saying shem Hashem. So even though bracha l'atala might only be midrabanan, since it's an asmacht on a very severe iser, you can't be machmir in that iser. That's what Shitas. That's what Shitas Mishnah Berurah.
Don't we not really use those Shem Hashem the way that would be described?
Right, but if you assume, but since we're using that pasuk as a source for the bracha l'atala on a midrabanan level as an asmachta,
that we use though, isn't that not really considered that Shem Hashem?
Would mean how we say Shem Hashem.
Yeah.
No, there's a whole discussion of which words qualify. But certainly saying Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud would qualify, yeah. So now that we've established, according to Mishnah Berurah and Pashtus, that if a person suffek, whether he said a bracha or didn't say a bracha, we paskin you shouldn't say the bracha. Because it's a bracha l'atala, whether it be deraisa or derabanan, you certainly shouldn't say the bracha. That poses a problem on Shitas HaRambam. Rambam writes in number 11, in Hilchos Kriyashma, Perek Beis, Halach Yud Gimel, he writes, Safek Kara Kriyashma, Safek Lo Kara, you're not sure if you said Shema or not, Chozer V'Kore U'Mivarech Lefaneh U'Lachara, you should have to repeat Shema again with the brachas. How could that be? I understand why you would say Shema again, but how could you say the brachas along with that? Shema is a deraisa. And even if Shema is only midirabanan, it's very serious because the Kabbalah is al mocha Shemaim. And there's nothing to lose by saying Shema. All you're doing is gaining. But to say the brachas that you weren't sure about, that's a problem of bracha latala, perhaps deraisa, perhaps derabanan, but still, and we pass, you're not allowed to be machmir. So where's the Rambam coming from? So this is the question that was asked to the Rashba. The Rashba is one of the Rishonim. And he was asked this question. This is number 12. How could the Rambam say to repeat Shema? Look at the question. Number 12, right in the beginning. Kesafta od, shetimasa, that which you wondered, al divrei harav, Rav Moshe Zal, shekasa beperek sheni mekriya Shema, savik kar Shema, savik lo kara, chozer vekori, mevarach lefana lachareha, heyach efshar. How is it possible to say the bracha? Valo brachos dirabanan, umisafik eno mevarach. Over mishum lo sisa. If you say the bracha of Shema and you already were yo to the bracha, you're violating the Isser lo sisa, whether it be the Isser or derbanan, it's still an Isser lo sisa. How could the Rambam suggest this? Okay. So, what the Rashi suggests is that, again, and there's a lot going on here. But first he suggests, there's a shittas of the Rashi. Rashi actually goes against everything we've been saying now, similar to Tosos, that he actually holds Safek Brachos L'chumra. He quotes a Rashi in Shabbos. Safek Brachos L'chumra. Like the Tosos that we saw on Daf Yud Beis. That's his first suggestion, where the Rambam's coming from. The problem with that is, he says, he quotes a Rambam from elsewhere, where he clearly holds other cases, Safek Brachos L'kula. So that can't be Shittas Rambam. So there must be something unique about Shema, the Brachos of Shema, but allows you to say them even though you're Safik. Normally the Rambam holds Safik brachos lakula. Something's unique by the brachos of Shema. And that is what the Rambam suggests. What the Rashba suggests. Rashba suggests, perhaps, he's not so confident, he says, ulai, maybe. Maybe the Rambam holds that when the Chum initially established that you have to say Shema, they made the brachos part and parcel of the mitzvah. They come attached to each other. You can't separate the two. Shema is with the brachos. So once I need to say Shema again, that means I'm saying Shema with the brachos. They're not viewed as, here's the brachos, and here's Shema. When it comes to birchas and mitzvah in general, we do view them as independent things. Lulav is one thing, and the brachos is an added thing to it. But I can't have lulav without bracha. I could sin the sukkah without the bracha. That I could fathom. But somehow, the Rashba suggests, doesn't have a proof for this, maybe when they're masakin Shema, it means Shema, attach the brachas. You can never detach them from Shema. And that's what the Rambam says. Once you're repeating Shema, you must say the brachas along with them.
Totally connected with the Gemara. No sheet in the Gemara says that over here.
Well, remember Rabbi Lazar never said anything about the brachas. He said, Savek kara, savek lo kara, chozer v'kara. Then he spoke about tefillah, you don't. But he doesn't mention about brachas. Right. So that might work out very nicely, since in fact he doesn't mention it, so then he should have mentioned it, tells us that it's attached to the reading of Shema.
He like subsumes it as part of
exactly.
The big words.
Right.
Yeah. That Kriyashma is unique in the sense that we have a Mishnah talking about how many brachas before, how many brachas after, unlike any, I don't know the rest, but I don't think there is any other mitzvah that you have so many Mishnahs telling you how many brachas go before, how many brachos go after the mitzvah.
Oh, but just because the Mishnah talks about it doesn't mean it becomes part of the mitzvah and doesn't mean that you have to repeat over again. There might be a strong emphasis on this, but much of that's a raya for this point.
So, and according to the way that we're viewing the Rambam right now, if you said Shema without the brachos, you wouldn't be yotze?
So that's a good question. So what happens, according to this Rashba, that you have to say Shema with the brachos? If you didn't say brachas, would you not be yotzei? That's a good question. The Rashba doesn't answer this. I don't think he addresses this point at all. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't know.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
We have to concern ourselves with the idea, when we're talking about bracha l'batalo or not, that when you're learning Torah and you're learning psukim, you could say it anyway. Does that have anything to do with it? And does that have anything to do with the brachas being connected or not? I mean, you could say Shema with Hashem's name
without any problem. As long as you say correct. The whole thing, it's considered learning.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Being saying Hashem's name in the context of a pasuk, that's limud HaTorah. That's reciting pesukim. Completely permitted.
But the problem is before and after.
So, but saying a bracha, bracha was to lead into something. It's not leading into anything. So then the bracha is unnecessary.
It can't be conceived right. As Hibirkas HaTorah at all. Before you're learning.
So. Okay. So that's the suggestion of the Rashba, why the Rambam says, say the bracha along with saying Shema. The Pri Chadosh says something interesting. Pri Chadosh says, there are different types of sfeikos. There are two types of cases of suffix. There's one case of suffix, whether I'm not sure if I'm chayiv in the first place. And one case is where I know I'm chayiv, I just don't know if I fulfilled the mitzvah, if I was mekayim in the mitzvah or not. So he said, in a case where I don't know if I'm chayiv in the first place, and I'm a case of suffix there, do I need to say bracha or do I not need to say bracha? That's a situation where we say suffik brachas lekulam. So he refers to the case of sukkah and mila. Doesn't exactly describe the case, but let's say a person's mitzvah. We know one of the pturim of a person in the sukkah is mitzvah, if he's uncomfortable. So a person's uncomfortable in mitzvah, he doesn't say a bracha. He shouldn't be in the sukkah. Let's say he's not sure if he's mitzvah or not. He doesn't know if it's hot enough to bother him. He doesn't know if the mosquitoes are strong enough to really... He's a little uncomfortable. Is that the gedder? Well, at what point do you get over to be mitzvah and pater? So in that case, I don't know if I'm chayiv in the first place or not. So therefore, you wouldn't say bracha. But let's say I know for sure I'm chayiv to say Shema every single day. I know this morning I have to say Shema. I just don't know if I fulfilled that chayiv. But there definitely was a chayiv, and there might still be a chayiv now. Then he says, that's what the Rambam holds. You have to repeat again. So when it comes to Shema and the brachos, for sure you're chayiv today to say brachos and Shema. For sure there's a chayiv. I just don't remember. So early in the morning it was Nate's. I can't remember if I said it or not, if I fell asleep. So then he says that's when you can be machber, when there certainly was a vada chayiv, but there's a suffik kim. That's where the Rambam comes from. So this wouldn't be unique to Shema anymore. This would be unique to any other situation where there'd be a vada chayiv. If I wasn't sure if I shook lulav or not, I definitely was chayiv today. I just don't know if I shook it or not. There too also he would say, say the bracha again. But if it's a situation where I don't know if I was chayiv in the first place, like the case of Mitzar, let's say, was there a chayiv or was it not a chayiv? That's a much further suffix. Then that's where the Rambam would say not to repeat the bracha again. So that's the distinction according to the Pri Chadosh. We're going through a lot today. A lot of different sfeikos and shema and brachas. Okay, hopefully it all comes together. Let's do one last piece. We'll do the Lechem Mishnah, number 14. You want a quick review of this before you go ahead? We're good? Review afterwards?
Afterwards?
Okay, after, it's fine. Okay, there are a lot of different nekudos here. It's not like one sugya. They're all connected, but a lot of different ha'aretz we're going along the way here. Lechem Mishnah asks the following question, number 14. He says, we paskin, there's a big machlokas we've shown, how do we paskin? What is the chiv? If you assume Shema is deraisa, which is what we assume, which part of Shema is deraisa? Is it the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael? Is it the first parsha? Is it two parshios? Is it three parshios? Which is the mitzvah deraisa? So when the Rambam says that you have suffik kara, suffik lo kara, he says you say the entire Shema. He wants to know why not. Why you say the whole thing? Shouldn't it be sufficient to just say the first pasuk? Actually, I don't know the Rambam Shita, but let's assume right now the Rambam Shita is the first pasuk alone. That's deraisa. So shouldn't it be enough to just say Shema, just the first pasuk? Why does Rama make you mention the entire, all three parshas of Shema? That's completely unnecessary. That's an extra Zatircha Yisera. You hear the question? Again, if it's a suffix, the reason why we repeat Shema is because Shema is deraisa, so suffix deraisa l'chumra. So the Lechem Mishnah points out, mid deraisa, all you really have to say is Shema, the first pasuk. So just say the first pasuk. The rest is all the abundance. Says the Lechem Mishnah, that once you're requiring us to say Shema again, the first pasuk, they said, just say the whole thing. Similar to the idea before, that they're all attached to each other. And granted, the first pasuk, only the first pasuk is deraisa, according to the Rambam, but they all come together. So once you start saying Shema, just continue saying the rest of it. That's what he writes. It's not considered too much, it's a tircha, but they're matriach, you just say it further. That's what the Lechem Mishnah is mechadish. But the Kiryas Sefer writes, the Mabit, which we mentioned his name last week, something very fascinating. Mabit says, you're right. When the Rambam holds that the first pasuk is deraisa, that means the chiv is deraisa. I only have an obligation to say the first pasuk. But saying the rest of Shema, there's a kim. I fulfill a further deraisa. I mean, I can have a keem without there being a chiyuv. So what's an example? Shema, I mean, a Talmud Torah. The Mabit says, Talmud Torah, I have an obligation to learn in the morning, a little bit in the night, a little bit. Higisa bo yom v'layla, a little bit in the morning, and I learn a little bit at night. The rest is open to do whatever I want. Now, if I learn the whole day, am I getting a mitzvah or not getting a mitzvah? Getting a mitzvah, of course. I don't have to learn all day, but I'm certainly getting a kiyum. So just like there's a kiyum for everything you learn above the chiv, above the baseline obligation, so too he says, above that baseline obligation of saying that first pasuk is Shema, the Shema, the first pasuk is the chiv. But I could get additional kiyum of saying the rest of Shema. So that's what the Rambam says. If you don't, not sure if you said it, repeat the whole thing. Say all three parshios. You're at least getting a key mitzvah. The similar concept we have by matzah. What's the grashita on matzah? The first night is the only mitzvah to get to eat matzah. That's only chiv. But he says that's the only time there's a chiv. But if I eat matzah the rest of Pesach, I still get kiyumim. I don't have to eat matzah if I don't want to. I can avoid washing if I wanted. If I want to get an additional mitzvah, I'm allowed to, and I can. By eating more matzah, I get another kiyum. Even though there's no chiv, I can have a kiyum without it being a chiv. And they say as well by sukkah. The obligation to eat in the sukkah is only the first night. But the remaining days and nights, if I eat, there's no obligation to eat in the sukkah. I could just have fruit and water. But I get a kiyum. Every time I eat in the mitzvah, I get a kiyum. So too says the Mabit, even though there's no chiv to say beyond the first pasuk, I still get a kiyum. That's why the Rambam says, if I'm not sure if I said Shema or not, I should repeat all three parshos to get an additional kiyum. That's what he says. Okay, that's it for today. I'll quickly review the points we mentioned, because there were a lot here. Number one, as we had a machlokus, whether Shema is deraisa or Shema is derabanan. That was the key point. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yehuda held in the Gemara, Safek Kara, Safek Lokar, you don't say it back because he holds Shema is derabanan. Rabbi Lazar says you do repeat it because Rashi says that he holds it as mitzvah deraisa. Pnei Yeshua says even Rabbi Lazar thinks that Shema is derabanan, he would still say to repeat it because Kabbalah is all Melchus Shemaim. That's Machlokas 1. Machlokas 2 we had is, what's the cloud? Do we say Savik Derbanan, Savik Brachos Lekula, or Savik Brachos Lechumra? So the Shilta says, based on the Gemara, just like Shmaz Derbanan, Savik Derbanan Lekula, so too Brachos, Savik Brachos Lekula. But then we saw Shitas Tosos, who says, no, Savik Brachos Lechumra. You're Machmir by Brachos. So why is he Machmir by Brachos? So one suggestion was, because Birchas Nenin is unique because there's an Isser involved. And then we have the suggestion of Pnei Yeshua that he holds that no, whenever there's a suffix, that's not called a bracha levatala. If you're not sure, that's considered doing something, the Torah's, that's a tzarech there. Fine. Then we saw how to paskin. Do we paskin deraisa versus derabanan? We assume it's deraisa, shema's din deraisa. And then we had a machlokas about whether a person, if he wants to, can a person be machmir and say brachos even though he doesn't have to? We say suffix brachos lekula. Can he be machmir? We assume you can't be machmir. So how can the Rambam is machmir? If you have to, if you don't know if you said Shema, you repeat Shema with the brachos along with them, because he felt that the brachos were attached to Shema. They cut part and parcel. They're subsumed under the mitzvah of Shema. And then we have the suggestion of Pichadish, that there are two different types of sfeikos. Safek, whether I'm chayiv in the first place or not, then we say, don't say the bracha. Bevaz vade chayiv, but safek, whether I fulfill the mitzvah, then the Pichadish says, then the Rambam says, you should be machmir, safek, luchamr. Then we finish off by saying the Lecha Mishnah, of why the Rambam requires you to say all three parshas Shema should be enough to say just the first pasuk. So he said, because once you're starting to say Shema, say the whole thing. What's the big deal? And then finally, the Mabit says no, because even though there's a chiv to say more than the first pasuk, there's at least a kiyum to say the remaining parts of Shema. That's it.
What's the Mishnah that makes that?